right, guys. Welcome to Two Thirds Radio. We're on hump day, as they call it, midweek already. Unbelievable. We got a great guest today, at least I'm anticipating. I called last night, and she said that she would be calling in, so hopefully she'll be doing that here soon. She should be here right after the first break. Her name is Wendy Murphy. She's a lawyer who works at the the New England School of Law. She's also worked at MIT as a professor. She's worked at Harvard teaching law. And she's the author of a new book just come out back in September. It's called Justice for Some. It exposes the criminality of our criminal justice system. It's rightly called criminal justice because it is indeed criminal, as we'll see when she comes on. You know, when you get someone high profile like that saying that our justice system is amok, you know it's got to be bad. I mean, she works right in that system itself. And I got to tell you, you know, I knew the system was corrupt, but I had no idea it was as bad as it is after reading her book. As aware as I am of government corruption, my jaw still dropped. I couldn't believe it was as bad as she reveals it to be. So anyway, she'll be up after the break. In the meantime, let me go over a few quick announcements. Once again, guys, one of our great sponsors, Heart and Body Extract. If you've got any health problems, this is the thing for you. It can help with your whole cardiovascular system, your blood pressure. It can regulate cholesterol levels, deliver nutrients to your body's cells, a whole number of things that it can do. And, of course, it's an all-natural, herbal-based product. So if you want to check this out, go to www.hbextract.com. H as in heart, B as in body. Again, that's www.hbextract.com. Or you can call the toll-free number, 866-295-5305. Again, that's 866-295-5305. Check it out, guys. It's some great stuff. And you don't have to worry about harmful or even deadly side effects like you get with so many pharmaceuticals today. This is all natural. It helps in a lot of areas. I'll tell you, I swear by herbs. I've had tremendous success with various herbs over the years for all kinds of things. They really do work. And, you know, there's some instances where you can go to a doctor and they'll tell you, oh, no, there's nothing you can do about it. You know, you just have to keep coming back and getting your prescription filled basically the rest of your life. No, hogwash. There are herbal treatments out there that can do wonders that no medication out there can do. And again, you don't get the harmful and sometimes downright deadly side effects. So once again, check it out. If anybody's interested in reading any of my books, Pearson, the Fog, and 9/11, The New World Disorder, along with a whole bunch of others, there'll be more to come in coming weeks, months. Like I said, hopefully by next month I'll have my book, An Alternative View of the Distant Past. Very interesting alternative perspective on ancient history. Talking about catastrophism in the distant past and its effects on human societies. And, you know, there's many mainstream professors who are now coming out and recognizing catastrophes, asteroidal or cometary impacts, for example, and their influence on civilizations in the past. Robert Schock from Boston University, Schock, I guess is how his name is pronounced, is one such person. I'm hoping to get him on pretty soon. That'll be coming out, like I said, next month. Be watching for that. If you want to get those books, you just go to lulu.com. That's L-U-L-U.com. And while there, just type in my name, Charles Giuliani, G-I-U-L-I-A-N-I, and my books will come up. Okay, guys, we do have Wendy on the line, so right after the break, I'll be bringing her on. We'll have a very interesting discussion about our court system and how it's gone completely amok. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
We're heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Are you concerned about cholesterol, blood pressure? Are you experiencing chest pain? Are you looking for a more natural method to help improve your health issues?
I had two mild heart attacks, and I had an 80 to 90% blockage in my artery. Don recommended I take this Cardivite. I haven't had any chest pain since I've been on it. It's brought my cholesterol down. My blood sugar was really fluctuating from 10 to 14 when I went on the Cardivite. You know, it really leveled it out. I'm really pleased, and I feel so good about it. I'll tell you, it's great for your circulation because I've noticed that I've had problems with my feet because of the diabetes, and they're getting better. They don't hurt as much. It's really great. I recommend this to anybody.
To learn more, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com. That's heartdrop.com. Call 1-877-928-8822.
It's Christmas time, the season for giving. How would you like to save money on Christmas gifts this year and make money while doing it? Then Power Mall Global is here for you. Power Mall Global is unique. It's not an MLM and not an affiliate program. All you have to do is shop in any one of the 1,000 plus stores, including Sears, OfficeMax, Home Depot, Bed Bath & Beyond, JCPenney, Old Navy, and much, much more on www.powermallglobal.com and surprise your family with the perfect gifts. You'll be surprised on how much you save and get back in rebate checks for a percentage of your purchase. Power Mall Global is absolutely free to use. There's no cost to you, ever. Think of all the traffic and clutter the Christmas holiday brings. Think of the times the stores were out of that certain item that was perfect for your loved ones. Not going to happen anymore. It's very simple. Stay in the comfort of your own home. Click through 1,000 stores. Buy and save on what you want for the Christmas holiday and earn money while doing it. Go to www.powermallglobal.com and check out the millions of products that could be the perfect gift for you. That's www.powermallglobal.com.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. Today we're joined by our guest, Wendy Murphy. She's an attorney who is currently employed at the New England School of Law. She's also worked at Harvard, at MIT. She's got quite a resume, and it's found in her new book, just come out a few months ago. It's called Justice for Some. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, great to have you. I was in Barnes & Noble about a month ago, and I was actually looking for a book of that caliber, of you know, just like yours. I recognized that our court system had gone amok, so I wanted to read up on, you know, find out more about it. And I wasn't even in the political science section for 2 minutes. I happened to be thumbing through, and I saw your book. I knew right away, right when I looked at the cover, this has got to be the one I want. I
started. Well, you know, we need more books like mine out there. I'm hardly the only voice on the topic, but you know, one of the problems is if you're an attorney and you know all the dirty tricks and, you know how the system works and doesn't work, you're supposed to keep that a big secret. And that's one of the reasons there aren't a lot of books like mine out there. I got a lot of new enemies as a result of publishing.
Oh, I bet.
What is, in a sense, an expose. And the defense attorneys in particular are really angry with me because, you know, they like it when they can do their dirty tricks and they don't like me teaching the public about them. So most lawyers play by the rules, and they don't care that I air these dirty tricks. But an awful lot could care less about the rules and the integrity of the system and the well-being of victims. And they're mad that I publish this book, which is, in a sense, each chapter is a dirty trick. So it is really a very intense expose revealing to the public for the first time in a book like this, just one trick after the next. So, because what I care about most is that the public, which cares a lot about, you know, whether you're watching news shows or CSI or you're worried about safety in your communities and your children and the internet and pornography, if you're worried about these topics, and we all are, you got to know the lay of the land before you can do anything about it. You got to be critical readers of newspapers. You got to be able to hear the news. It sort of read through the lines, and it's hard to do that if you're not an insider. So this is sort of an insider's ball game, if you will, reduced to writing. It's in lay terms, easy to understand, and frankly, most people who read it say to me, I am so disgusted, I'm so shocked, I can't believe what you put in there. They're just shocked.
Oh, yeah, I have to say, like I said, I knew there were a lot of problems, but I never realized it was this bad after reading it. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. It's far worse than I imagined. I mean, you know, I figured, yeah, it's corrupt because you've got corrupt individuals within it that are not playing by the rules. But the rules themselves, as you know, I'm sure you're going to be sharing with us, the rules themselves have been corrupted.
That's right. I mean, right. Nobody's surprised to hear about corruption. It's an old adage in the legal system. Money walks, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all know that everybody, every institution, every system has its flaws, and corruption is no stranger to this country or any country, frankly. I think we have a good system in many respects, but I only have one chapter on corruption because that's not the thing that bothers me. It does bother me, but that's not the overarching problem. The overarching problem is the way our legal system, in the name of justice, allows gratuitous harm to be done to people who've already suffered. We're talking about victims and witnesses, people who are minding the law, people who are obeying the rules, who are behaving in a civilized manner in society. These are the people who, when they report crime or they're an eyewitness and they have to show up to testify, are getting their butts kicked in the name of justice. And our laws allow it, encourage it, reward it. And that's what bothers me the most. I mean, I've been a prosecutor, and I can't tell you often enough why I was inspired to do the work that I've been doing. For 20 years I've been doing this sort of work, in part because when I was a prosecutor, I couldn't believe that I was the government actor, the good guy, the guy in the white hat. I was the one who was supposed to be protecting these people, and I was literally enforcing laws that were hurting these victims. And all I could do every day was say, I'm so sorry that I have to do this to you, but the bad guy and his lawyer are allowed to cause you grief. They're allowed to harass you. They're allowed to intimidate and threaten you and, you know, traipse through your private history and literally torture you, because there's an anything-goes mindset, especially in certain states like Massachusetts. But when you endorse the defense at any cost, anything-goes mindset, that it's all about winning, and it doesn't matter how you play the game. You can cheat, you can lie, you can hurt victims, destroy lives. The only thing you have to do as a defense attorney is win. If that's the mindset, if that's the philosophy, then you're going to have all the problems I outline in my book. And the problem is we're not paying enough attention. People aren't outraged enough. And largely it's because people don't know. You know, most people are not involved in the criminal justice system. They watch it on television, but it's not happening to them. So they don't,
right,
they don't have it in their daily lives. And it's easy not to care about it, right? Oh, that's somebody else's problem. But the truth is, when our criminal justice system fails victims, even if they're somebody else's victims, even if they're in a different neighborhood, when the criminal justice system fails victims or allows bad things to happen to innocent people, then our system as a whole is putting all of our children at risk, all of us at risk, all of law-abiding citizens at risk, and we will eventually suffer the consequences. So we can't afford to wait until crime creeps up on the rest of us. You know, it is happening in our yards right now. There's a reason you don't know who all the sex offenders are that live in your neighborhood. There's a reason you're at risk and you don't even know about it. It's because of how tilted our system is and who it protects. It's not designed to protect law-abiding citizens. It's designed to hurt them. I understand the constitutional rights of the accused. I respect the fact that our Constitution cares about the rights of the accused. But there's no such thing as defense at any cost. There's no such thing as the Constitution allows you, the bad guy, to slap around the innocent victim in the name of justice. I've read the Constitution. There's nothing in there that says you can do whatever you damn well want once you get charged with a crime. We are so over the top in our legal system's overindulgence of the rights of criminals that we've forgotten about the fact that our Constitution preaches balanced liberty, not absolute chaos. That's not, the Constitution doesn't say you can do whatever you want whenever you want. You can hurt anybody, and then when you're charged with a crime, you can do whatever you want just to win and walk free. The whole concept of ordered liberty means you actually have a civilized system of laws that requires fairness even to victims. We don't have that anymore. We're way, way past a crisis point. And I think, frankly, it all started with O.J. Simpson. If that guy could walk with that much evidence, I think everybody just kind of rolled their eyes and said,
yeah,
that's
I was going to ask you that, you know, if this is something that's relatively recent, because I remember reading an article in the early 90s, right after the collapse of the Soviet Union, and it's mentioned how, you know, Soviets were coming over here, Russians were coming over here to study our criminal justice system. To, you know, they wanted to model theirs after ours. And I'm thinking, oh, isn't that nice? Wow, this is great. You know, we're spreading our – I was in, of course, complete naivety then. Or maybe was it that our system wasn't that bad then, and it's now since become – you know, I hope they're not still sending people over here to learn our system now.
No, they – you know, actually – a friend of mine who's a judge recently traveled to, I want to say Kiev, I forget which country, no longer the Soviet Union, but they are still trying to develop civilized legal systems, and they are still modeling after ours. And I got to say, I'm not sure that's the right way to go. If you're a new country trying to figure out how to do things fairly, I don't think you should be looking at the United States anymore. Not that we're terrible,
yeah.
We're not the worst, but we're not the best. And you are absolutely right that it wasn't so bad 20 years ago. Even 15 years ago, it was getting bad, but it is much worse. We used to have much more respect for the concept of balance. We used to have zero tolerance for gratuitous harm to innocent victims and witnesses. We used to have a country where if you were an innocent citizen just doing your civic duty, showing up for jury duty or because you were a witness to a drunk driving case or whatever, if you were just a participant as a citizen doing your duty, showing up to the courthouse, you were never, ever regretting your involvement. You would never hesitate to call the police. You would show up and be proud of yourself, and you'd be glad to be an American. 9 times out of 10, what I hear from people these days is, if I got hurt, I wouldn't bother to call the police because I don't want to go through the hell I know I'm going to have to go through. And at the end of the day, I'm probably not even going to get anything out of it. The guy's going to be acquitted. He's going to hire some huckster lawyer who's going to beat the hell out of me. And the guy's going to get acquitted. And what will I have gotten out of this? Nothing. So people don't even call the police anymore. And when they say, you know, I went to the courthouse to try to participate in the process and it was so awful, I'll never do it again. What you end up with is a legal system where the only people who are participating are the thugs, the bad guys, the friends of the bad guys. Do you remember there was a case in Massachusetts a few years ago, not that long ago, actually, I should say about 2 or 3 years ago. I write about it in my book. It was a murder case in Boston, and while the jury was struggling, in a very strong case, the jury was struggling with during deliberations whether to find the guy guilty or not guilty, and the prosecutor got suspicious because it was such a strong case, so he ran the records. He ran the rap sheets of the jurors. And sure enough, I believe it was 5 of them had criminal records. 5 out of 12 had criminal records. A couple of them were substantial, page after page of criminal records. And get this, all 5 lied on their jury forms. All 5 said they had no criminal backgrounds, no criminal records. That's called perjury. That's a crime.
And nothing happened.
Nothing happened. Nothing. In fact, get this. The lawyer for the defendant, what ended up happening is the judge granted a mistrial and said, you know, I can't let jurors committing perjury on their jury form sit in judgment on such a serious case. Mistried the case, and then the case was to be scheduled again for another trial, and his lawyer, the perpetrator's lawyer, filed a motion saying, you can't retry my client. That's not fair. It's not fair because you had no business running, the prosecutor had no business running the rap sheets of these jurors. That was a violation of their privacy. This is what we've come to, that jurors should have privacy rights in their criminal rap sheets, and that because of their privacy rights, it is somehow offensive to freedom that the prosecutor took it upon himself to run their records to see whether they'd committed the crime of perjury, the felony crime of perjury, and thankfully he did figure it out, and justice probably will be done in that case, but this is what we've come to.
Yeah, it's astonishing. I tell you what, we're going to take a short break, but stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Wendy Murphy. Very interesting stuff.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Introducing the new Blueprint Water Unit. This one-of-a-kind water technology uses natural frequencies to clean harmful toxins from your drinking water. We start with one of the best four-stage reverse osmosis systems. Then we retrofit the Blueprint Water System with twin vortices. This primary technology is designed to clear harmful water memory. We then imprint blueprint frequencies harmonic to the human body. This is the only known living water recreated by live essence infusion. According to reports from users, the water helps balance the body's internal pH. Others have said the water has helped promote weight loss through detoxification. This water is so good, your body begins to crave its healthy input. For more information, call Natural Solution toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Hey guys, welcome back to Truth Earth Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined today by attorney Wendy Murphy, talking about corruption within our criminal justice system. You know, I read the case in your book, Wendy, about the ruling of Edward Cashman. And boy, my jaw dropped. I mean, I would hope that he does not represent the majoritarian opinion among judges today, but you want to give us the background on that case,
yeah.
And then I have the verbatim quote here. I have the verbatim quote of his ruling after you tell the story.
Okay.
I'll do that.
Here's what's interesting. Judge Edward Cashman was a judge in Vermont who had before him a man in his 40s, Mark Hewlett, who had repeatedly raped a little girl, 7 years old, over the course of 4 years. She was abused so many times, he couldn't even remember the number. So keep that in mind. It was really prolific stuff he did. And the most horrible of behavior. I mean, I don't want to get too graphic here, but this was not a pat on the fanny. And sometimes he brought his buddy with him. This was pretty awful stuff. And that child will never be the same. So in exchange for that kind of behavior, a judge has to decide what the appropriate sentence is. And this judge said, I think I'm going to give you 60 days behind bars. 60 days.
Jeez.
You know, roughly less than a day behind bars for each incident, and probably even less than that, because we really don't know the number. In any case, the public was outraged, and thanks to Bill O'Reilly, who, by the way, I've, you know, he hired me to work with him on some sex offender advocacy. Over the past several years, I've done a lot of work with him. He wrote the foreword for my book, and he really took on this Edward Cashman case because he was so angry that judges like Cashman, when they give out these sentences, although they're technically legal sentences, they're really inappropriate. They don't reflect society's concerns about what is fair as punishment goes. And judges are supposed to care about what the public thinks is a just punishment, what fits the crime. Not that they're obligated to obey the public, but they're supposed to take it into account. This was a judge who could have cared less, and so O'Reilly took it upon himself to make it very clear that he disagreed, and he made a campaign on his program. And then, by the way, other people took it upon themselves to do their own things. This wasn't just O'Reilly screaming and yelling. Everyone, and this was not a political issue. Partisan ideologies, had nothing to do with how people felt. There were real,
real common sense issue.
Angry people on both sides of the aisle. That's right.
And yeah, common decency.
Common decency, and just the concept. You know, when it's a defenseless kid who's being brutalized, you have to send a strong message that this is intolerable in a civilized society. And 60 days is more like, you know, what you get for stealing bread. So
yeah.
People were so angry, and he really got hounded. You know, a lot of people who care about criminals' rights were angry because they don't want judges to get hounded. And my argument was, hey, the judge works for the people. This is a government employee. We pay his salary. Yes, he's not quite the legislature, and we can't vote him out of office, but we need to be free to protest when judges really go out of line. And a lot of people protested. So the 60-day sentence, eventually he was forced, through public outcry, to increase the punishment to 4 years, I believe, or 3 years, I think he gave him. And then he had to step down from his robe. He's no longer a judge, and all of that is good. But here's the story behind the story. A lot of people said, why would a judge do this? And he gave this long story about, you know, he doesn't think vindictiveness works and, you know, retribution rots the soul and all this sort of stuff. I mean, he's really a treatment-oriented judge, and that's fine. If he feels that way as a human being, he's entitled to that. But you can't be a judge and be so overwhelmed with your own personal philosophy about how the human condition works that you ignore your role as a judge, which is to bring punishment to bear. Our core philosophy in the legal system is that punishment is a valid response to very serious criminal behavior. And he basically has an opposite philosophy, that punishment does no good. And as it turns out, he was teaching this thing called restorative justice. It's a sort of an idea some people believe in, that anytime anything bad happens, punishment is the wrong response, and you really have to find a way to heal the person and bring them back into the community and so forth. You know, maybe for early transgressions, first-time offenses, young people who really can be helped and fixed and they're just going off in a bad direction temporarily, maybe that's a good philosophy. But for an adult male who did so many horrible things to a defenseless child, I think it is really a silly philosophy. And the recidivism rate for predators who pick on kids in particular is just through the roof. I cite data in my book that shows, according to a National Institutes of Mental Health-funded study, the average sex offender has something like 117 victims over the course of his life. You know, the data is over and over again shows us that these kinds of people have huge numbers of victims, and most of the time they never get caught. So, you know, locking somebody like that up is a good idea because, it, by definition, it's going to save people from getting hurt, especially kids. And this judge didn't have any interest in that. He really believed that this guy should get treatment, blah, blah, blah. And one of the things is, once the judge got caught, he tried to spin it a little bit. He said, well, you know, I wanted him to get out quickly because he can't get treatment in prison because he was assessed to be a low-level recidivist offender. In other words, it was not likely that he would offend again, and because of that, he wouldn't get treatment in prison. So the judge said, I wanted him to get out quickly so he could quickly get some treatment. Had he been a high-level offender, we would have kept him in longer. That turned out not to be true. The judge was lying. The judge was crazy.
Yeah, that's just unbelievable. I tell you what, we get another short break. We'll pick up, though, when we get back. This is a really astonishing case. We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
It's true. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
All right, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. It's your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined today by attorney Wendy Murphy. Before the break, we were talking about this Edward Cashman ruling. And, I mean, what do you make of this personally? I mean, was he a friend of the family of this offender?
It's funny you say that, Charles, because that was my first reaction when I first heard about the story several years ago. I said, who does he know? You know, how influential is this defendant? Blah, blah, blah. Because that is often the explanation. But that was not the case here. This was simply a judge who doesn't believe in punishment. He just doesn't. And as I said, that's fine for any human being. If they don't believe in punishment, you know, bully for them. But you can't be a judge and carry out a personal philosophy that subverts your constitutional duties. Judges have to dole out punishment. It is part of what we do in our criminal justice system. It's not illegitimate. It's legitimate. Punishment is not only necessary and appropriate, it's effective. I mean, we have dozens and tons and, you know, probably thousands of studies that show us that punishment does work to deter people from bad behavior. It's not the only remedy. You know, you have to do other things, education and prevention and outreach and so forth. But you're a fool if you think you can stop predatory sex offenders by giving them a hug and passing a feather around a tree. And that really is what this guy was interested in. As I said, he was teaching this idea called restorative justice to law students in his off time. And it is a philosophy that cites back to Native American times when there were no jails, and so they had to resolve things by passing a feather. And I don't mean to be sarcastic about this, but the point is that they really didn't have anywhere to put people. But here's what's funny. the Native Americans, when we had no prisons, but they really cared about bad behavior in their communities, even they couldn't stand perpetrators picking on kids or sex offenders. They were banished from the tribe. That was effectively life in prison. If you were banished,
right.
You were disallowed to return. So even back then, while they were trying to do healing circles and so forth for certain offenses like stealing and so forth, when it was something as obviously wrong, inherently wrong, and unfixable as predatory sex criminal behavior, they got rid of those guys. So the thing about Edward Cashman is he was very arrogant. He felt, I think, as many judges do when they know there's very little accountability, just he could do whatever he wanted, public interest be damned. And as it turned out, he ended up being forced to step down, and that's good. But
other
judges exist like him all over the country. They are popping up in pockets all over the place, Massachusetts, Vermont, parts of Oregon. There's certain regions in this country where it's a movement that is infecting our legal system. And one of the bad things about how we create our system is, and how we build it and how we regenerate it, is we don't ask the right questions of our state court judges. The way we do with Supreme Court justices, for example, we pummel them with questions about their ideology and their beliefs, and that's exactly the right thing to do. But with state court judges, we're not even saying, you know, do you believe in punishment? We don't screen them at all on these core issues. Thus, we are infected, frankly, with judges who are not interested in carrying out their responsibilities and public constitutional duties.
With him being removed, let's hope maybe that'll send a message to others. They won't be so quick to, you know, make such lenient rulings like this. I mean, it's ridiculous. Here's his exact words. He said, being hard-nosed to criminals serves no useful purpose. This is right from your book. And then he said, it doesn't make anything better, he said. It costs us a lot of money. We create a lot of expectation, and we feed on anger. So he's saying all of these things are negatives.
That's why send somebody to prison. Right. That was his explanation for why prison was bad. I mean, talk about ridiculous. It's not, you don't, I don't, when I was a prosecutor, I didn't recommend prison because I was angry. It wasn't personal. It wasn't rage, and it wasn't inappropriate or vindictive. It was correct as a matter of law to say you deserve to be punished, and oh, by the way, one of the benefits is you can't hurt anybody else when you're behind bars. Now, is prison a terrible place to be? Absolutely. Would you like to avoid going? You betcha, because when you get in there, it's not like a therapist in a spa. You know, it's not a day at the spa. It's a horrible place to go. That's why you're not supposed to hurt people. If you don't want to go, the way not to end up in prison is to leave people alone. Don't hurt kids especially. So although I agree with a lot of judges who say prison makes people worse, you know, it creates monsters, I say, well, I'm not so sure it creates monsters, but it is such a crummy place that's why people shouldn't engage in bad behavior. And the fact that they choose to do it anyway is an even stronger argument for sending them away, because they already knew what the consequences were, and they did it anyway. Talk about people who don't care about other human beings, and they are the ones who should be off the streets.
According to that ideology, we should get rid of courts altogether, never prosecute anybody, just do what you want, and we'll have total chaos.
Yeah, right. And a lot of the sort of ACLU-oriented people take that philosophy. We'd be better off with, you know, freedom plus freedom plus freedom. And I say, you know, there's such a thing as too much freedom. And that makes people nervous when I say that. But obviously there are things that come with too much freedom. Chaos in every venue, it would be bad for us. You know, if we are left to our own devices without any restraint that comes from rules of law, think about the horrible things that would happen. You know, most people are nice, most people are good, but there are an awful lot of people out there who care more about their own selfish interests and would gladly hurt a child in exchange for money or sexual pleasure or whatever they want, you know. So we've always been a country of laws. We've always believed that restraint on chaos is part of the core definition of civility, and the ACLU is really destroying our attempts to be civilized. I think we need more leadership as well. You know, I'd like to vote for the next president based on leadership around the benefits of civility. I haven't heard that tone. I haven't heard that theme from any of the candidates, so I have no idea who I'm going to vote for, but I'd really like to have leadership at the top start to talk about things like civility in this country.
reforming our laws and our court system. Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
starting
like you said,
there. Yeah.
As long as people aren't saying or doing anything, of course they're going to continue to do it, and it's going to even get worse.
It is going to get worse. We, you know, we have so many problems that need attention in this country that are affecting how we treat one another. And one of the things I like about what's going on in terms of Bill O'Reilly and a lot of the ideas I propose in my book for regular folks to start to get involved is that we know, you know, we know how we feel, right? I no longer feel comfortable just letting my children walk up the street alone. Why? Why 20 years ago did parents think it was okay and now we don't think it's okay? It's because we're starting to care more, starting to pay more attention, and frankly, and this is really sad, we're starting to recognize that our legal system isn't doing it. So we're taking, in a sense, taking matters into our own hands. How many stories do we hear where the vigilante parents are literally engaged in their own kind of aggressive campaigns, not necessarily to hurt the sex offenders, but to find out where they are, to protest against them living in the neighborhood? The reason vigilantism exists, and I don't support it, but it's a very important sign. It's a symbol. It's a, you know, canary in a coal mine, if you will. If people are starting to engage in vigilante-like activity, it is a definite sign that the legal system is failing in its responsibilities. So I don't, you know, I'm not going to tell parents, don't engage in your own activity. I say the opposite. I say until our legal system gets fixed, we have a job to do as parents. We have to form neighborhood groups. We have to do court watch programs. I really get excited when I hear about groups like Community Voices, two wonderful women, Debbie Savoia and Lori Myers in Massachusetts, who do an awful lot of oversight for judges who are engaged in bad decision-making. The court watch model means parents who care, especially parents, because they know their kids can't protect themselves and parents can't be everywhere at all times, they're literally sitting in courtrooms taking notes, watching what judges are doing, and building a track record so that they can start to say publicly, guess what this judge has been doing? Guess what that judge has been doing? And they're forming their own neighborhood groups so that if, you know, if we, like in Massachusetts, we have a really strange level of respect for the, quote, privacy rights of convicted sex offenders. God forbid we should know where they live. I mean, my opinion is if you commit a sex crime or any crime, I'm entitled to know about it. It is a quintessential public matter, paid for and prosecuted with public dollars in a public forum. It's on
a matter
front
of public
page.
Safety.
It's a matter of public safety. It's on the front page of the Boston Globe. Well, in this state, in Massachusetts, you can literally develop privacy rights after your conviction as if somehow it never happened. And this is the thing that a lot of states think is so crazy about Massachusetts. It's why a lot of sex offenders move here. They know.
It's so ironic, isn't it? You've got people minding their own business who are losing their privacy rights, but you can be a criminal and have those rights protected.
Criminals in Massachusetts have way better privacy rights than innocent citizens. Way better. That's an old story, and it's a disgusting story, but it's partly because the ACLU and the Criminal Defense Bar have a stranglehold around our legislature, and they've manipulated our laws. They're a mess. It's outrageous. But here's one thing. So parents who know, for example, if I know a sex offender moves down the street from my house, even though I can't get the Globe to print it, I might not be able to get the guy on the registry, and we can't print it or talk about it on the news, I can talk about it because I'm not the government. So I can do whatever I damn well please. That means I can tell my neighbors and they can tell their neighbors. We can form our own groups of information sharing. Just like we're doing court watch, we can do neighborhood watch where we do our own police work. The police can't sometimes get away with violating the privacy rights of convicted sex offenders, but regular folks, we're not the government, we're not working for the state, we can just talk openly and share information with each other. And I talk a lot in my book about how to do it and why it's important. And the fact is we do have to take matters into our own hands because our government is not getting the job done.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, I want to talk some more about the rights that are, in fact, granted to the offenders and how the victims don't have any rights. For example, I was amazed. I never really thought about it, but it's true. You can get your attorney fees covered completely when you're an offender, but you don't get any legal assistance at all if you're the offended, if you're the victim. You get no help at all.
And this is one of my pet peeves because, again, I've been doing volunteer work for victims for 15 years, and for 5 years before that I was a prosecutor watching innocent people have their rights violated, often where the victim doesn't even know. I mean, that's what's really bad about having no lawyer and no real rights. When your rights are violated, if you don't have an attorney on board, you don't even know they're being violated. I mean, talk about uncivilized. And in this state, we indulge tons of money at every whim and request. Whenever a person accused of a crime wants an attorney or wants to, you know, an extra $1,000 to go harass and bother the victim's family and try to uncover dirt and snoop in their trash and so forth, we just throw tax money away at defendants. We let them use, and this is the thing that gets to me, we let the criminals use our tax money to cause harm to victims, including things like harassing them and their family members. And then when the victim complains and goes to court and says, hey, my rights have been violated and I don't have a lawyer to help me because his lawyer and the lawyer's investigator and, you know, these thug criminal creeps have been hurting me and my family, and you've been giving him the tax dollars to let him do it, which, by the way, he'd never be able to do had he not committed a crime. You know, talk about ultimate in ironies, right? You get prizes.
Right.
You commit a crime in Massachusetts, you get prizes. You get rewarded with tax dollars stuffed into your pocket so you can then go re-harass and hurt again your victim and her family. Then the victim shows up in court and says, hey, I've been hurt. My privacy rights, my personal rights, I've been threatened, and whatever. I've got all this bad stuff going on now.
So it's literally set up to encourage crime.
Encourage crime. And then when the victim shows up and says, can somebody help me protect my rights? The court says, oh, no, you know, you don't have rights. You can't have a lawyer. Those aren't real rights. And that's why I do volunteer work. For about 80% of my work is volunteer work for victims, because it bothers me in my soul. It is deeply offensive to me that a person can be victimized by rape or beatings, and then we say to them, now that you're in the system and you're going to get your rights violated even more, now you have to go find some money. You have to mortgage your house or stop paying the rent, you know, choose between eating and having your rights protected. It bothers me that we would ask people to spend money on an attorney to help them protect themselves from more harm when all they've done wrong is, well, they've done nothing wrong, but all they've done is suffer crime, suffer some violence. And then we have the audacity to suggest they should go find money to hire a lawyer to help them not be hurt more? This is why I do.
Oh, I mean, you even cite cases, and I remember hearing of some of these too, where the victim actually sues the perpetrator sues the victim, you know, for character malignment and
unbelievable, right? So you can rape a woman or a kid, and then if the kid complains or speaks publicly about it, you can just sue them and say, well, I'll drop my lawsuit against you if you stop complaining publicly. Or my least, you know, I suppose my favorite in terms of the most outrageous, and it's not that uncommon, is when someone who's charged with rape or abuse or beating somebody up, they sue the victim and they say, if you go tell the prosecutor you want to drop the charges, I'll drop my lawsuit against you. Happens all the time. And most people who this happens to, the victims don't know that it's unconstitutional to threaten somebody that they should not testify in exchange for having, you know, the lawsuit against them go away. So the slimiest of defense attorneys and criminal thugs will file lawsuits just to get a strategic leg up, just to be able to bully and scare and terrorize the victim even more. And very often the victim will say, okay, I give up. I give up. You know, drop the charges. I'm leaving the country. I quit.
It's like thieves that break in your house and then, you know, you would try to attack the assailant and then they sue you for injuring them.
Yeah. Oh, and there are cases on the books about rapists who sue their victims for giving them sexually transmitted disease.
Oh, good heavens. I haven't heard that one. I'm not surprised, though. Anything goes today, literally. It's incredible.
Well, that's because we don't punish defense attorneys who act badly. We don't punish perpetrators ever for anything they do during the processing of their case. And again, it's because of this crazy mindset that anything goes. Once you're charged with a crime, you can do anything in the name of winning. And if we had a different philosophy, if we had a different system where we were restraining the bad behavior, any defense attorney who engages in bad behavior would lose their license to practice or would suffer some kind of substantial penalty. But they don't. They never, ever do. and I write about one of the most famous cases in my book, I'll tell you about in a second, but also when defendants engage in bad behavior, we say, oh, well, because he's being charged with a crime, he has a constitutional right to do fill in the blank, whatever it is. Once you're charged with a crime, you feel like your whole body is encased in the Constitution, and anything you do is considered part of due process. I write about how that's really the core systemic flaw academically for us, is we have defendants and their lawyers all over the country saying, well, yes, the defendant did that, but it's called due process. Yes, he did this bad thing, but it's part of due process. The misuse, the overuse, the grotesque, I would call it ironic mischaracterization of due process as the right to do whatever you damn well please is rotting the core integrity of our legal system.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. We've got another short break. Stick with us, folks. We'll be right back with Wendy Murphy.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Okay, guys, welcome back to Truth Hurts Radio. This is your host, Charles Giuliani. We're joined today by attorney Wendy Murphy, whose book exposes the corruption in our legal system, our criminal justice system. Her book is called End Justice for Some. You can get that from Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. And by the way, Wendy, is there a website, one of your groups that's working to help with victims' rights that you wanted to plug or anything else?
There is. My book has a website just called AndJusticeForSome.com where people can get an excerpt for free and find out more about the book. But I usually refer people to other organized websites because I'm an in-court activist. You know, I'm stumping all over the country, running into court for victims. I'm not so electronic, but there are some really good websites out there doing excellent work. DarknessToLight.org is a great organization, really focused on child sex abuse. They're in South Carolina, but they're national. They're rooted in South Carolina, but they're doing incredibly good work trying to help us figure out who the bad guys are better before they have a chance to pick on a kid. AngelaShelton.com is also a wonderful website full of information for folks looking to deal more responsibly, you know, get involved so that they can deal more responsibly with legal problems they see in their area, especially when it comes to violence against women and children. My work as a volunteer, the Victim Advocacy and Research Group, people can reach me at my law school, New England School of Law, and I take on a lot of free cases. I can't take on much. You know, I get way more requests than I can handle, but I like to help people figure out where they can go for more help. If it's not me, can I help them find someone else? You know, there are a lot of options out there. All people have to do is start asking.
Excellent.
Hey, let me add one more.
Sure.
PAVE, which stands for Promoting Awareness and Victim Empowerment, PAVE, is also a terrific website with a ton of helpful information and really good resources. It's, a national nonprofit, so anyone who's located anywhere in the country with issues they want help with, PAVE is a good first place to go.
All right. You know, isn't it sad, though? It's bad enough that you've got these problems within the system itself, but then you actually have some groups that seem to be pro-victim, and yet, you know, like you point out in your book, this MOVA, Massachusetts Office of Victims Assistance, they actually have fought to take away rights.
Funny, Charles. I've been doing I don't know how many radio and TV interviews on my book. You're the first person to pick up on that, and I thought it was one of the most important points that I wrote about in the book. The fact is an awful lot of organizations that purport to be pro-victim, anti-criminal, you know, they want the system to work better. They talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. And a good example is in my book, it really opened my eyes and I think made me sour on a lot of the work that people claim to be doing that they're not really getting done in Massachusetts. And one of the key explanations for that, I think, is that if you're doing victim work in Massachusetts, for example, if you claim you care about people who get battered or raped or whatever, and you're not screaming and yelling about the problems in the system, then you're falling down on the job. An awful lot of people say they do victim rights work, but they won't complain about the system. They'll say, we need more money for education, we need more money for counselors, we need more money for housing, and I think to myself, that's not going to fix the problem. You, in fact, it's going to make the problem worse. If you're just saying we need more money because we want to build more programs and we want to have more counselors so we can have more victims, in a sense, you have to create more victims to keep your budget justified, right? And I always push nonprofits to think about ways of promoting obsolescence. If you really care about stopping the violence, you should be doing work designed to shrink your staff, you know, shrink your budget. You should be trying to move toward becoming obsolete. But we have the opposite going on. We also have political ideologies in this state such that people claim to be doing victim advocacy work. All they really
I tell you what, Wendy, let's hold that thought and we'll pick it up there. We get another break here.
With recent internet.